comment, your welcome to the meeting. You have received the agenda, of course. So on our agenda, we'll just add a report back from those that have attended the Land Tenure Summit. It will be the last on the agenda. I'm going to request that we be systematic and deal with issues very quickly so that we have enough time. You know, I felt active in the last two meetings because I arrived already. The speaker was in the house because I had to finalize certain things. So we must agree that whether the agenda is finished or not, we are going to adjourn the meeting. The latest should be 1:30. Agreed? Thank you very much. The roll call has been circulated. Do we have any apologies?
Chair, thank you. Just as alternate member, I'll be here until about 11, and then I unfortunately have to go to another meeting, so I'll just leave earlier. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, ma'am. We appreciate your attendance. Any other apology? Do we have any apology? Albertina is not here. Who's taking the notes in the absence of Albertina? Yourself, okay. Yes, I know that I've requested her to bring a document that we're going to use as a reference to this meeting. So I think the content advisor will take the notes. I'm not sure in her books whether you don't have any apologies from other members, because I see others are not here. Honourable State?
Chair, I'm not sure if Honourable Young Lute sent in a written apology, but she's also having another meeting at the morning. And I unfortunately have to leave at 12:30 to just to attend to something that I'm being called for.
Okay, I think the apology has been noted. And we'll allow Albertina when he comes in, if he's got any apologies from other members to inform the meeting about those. On our agenda, the first item, we've requested members, the support staff, to come and take us through the legislation, around the legislation that govern our sector, so that we are able to see whether the department that we are supposed to oversee, are they doing justice in making sure that there is enough legislation for the sector itself. So I'm going to request the content advisor to lead us on the issues. And these members, it was emanated. I know it was not part of, it was not part of things that should be dealt with. It emanated because I was approached by the Legal Services of Parliament, reminding us that the previous committee were dealing with the court order, and that court order is due in January. So we therefore felt it important just to come and our officials take us through any outstanding legislation or legislation that they think the department was supposed to have passed. And ourselves looking at whether if there are legislations that ourselves as a committee can take them through. we have the person from legal services. I'm not sure who's going to lead us. I'll ask contact advisor and will actually direct us who will be dealing with this.
Thank you, Chair, and morning members. I think since at 11 o'clock the committee will be having the department regarding the bill on which there's a constitutional court ruling on, maybe the legal advisor can give a briefing on that.
Yes, ma'am, you're welcome. You can lead us on the legislation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to give a background as to why we approached the Chairperson on this particular piece of legislation. I'm from Legal Services in Parliament, and we've got a new legislative drafting unit which assists Parliament with drafting of legislation. We assist with private members' bills as well as committee bills as well as amendments to executive bills. Part of our projects that we have there is that we also look at the statute book and constitutional court judgments, so we can see that whether there were judgments made in respect of legislation by the Constitutional Court, on whether the legislation, any legislation was declared invalid or whether there was any read-in. And part of this project, we analyzed the Constitutional Court judgment. Now, the judgment that I refer or discuss with the Chairperson is the case of National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty of Animals versus the Minister of Agriculture. And the judgment dealt with the impact of the Performing Animals Protection Act. What this act basically does in Section 2 and 3, it gives the power to the magistrate to issue licenses to people that want to use animals for performing purposes as well as security purposes. Section 3 then deals with the issue of certificates. Now, the NSPCA then took this piece of legislation to the Constitutional Court, and it basically said that this is also a very old act. It was passed in 1935. It was before the Constitution, and then the courts basically said that giving the magistrates the power to issue licenses and certificates, this is basically a executive function. That the court said magistrates who's part of the judiciary shouldn't be seen to be doing executive functions, and therefore it violated the separation of powers, which is part of our constitution. The court then declared Section 2 and 3 of that act invalid, but suspended the order of invalidity for 18 months. That was last year, 11 July. So it's 11 July 2013, that judgment was handed down. Parliament as well as the department was instructed to remedy this and then bring legislation which must be passed by Parliament before 10 January. Now, we written last year to the department soon after the judgment to ask them, we see this judgment, can you please advise whether the department is going to bring legislation? At that time, they did inform legal services that they are attending to the matter. They are considering maybe reviewing the whole act since it was such an old piece of legislation. And this year, when we received the legislative program, we didn't see this piece of legislation on the legislation. So we approached them again. But now the difficulty we have now is that there's a very few time until 10 January. And this legislation hasn't been introduced yet. So that is the background to why we approach the committee, because the committee has got oversight functions, and it can ask the department to come and report back as to what is happening with this piece of legislation, what are they intending on doing it. Another option which I also raised to the committee, because the deadline is so tight, is a committee bill. But then we're going to have to ask for a longer suspension of rules, because I've looked at the normal process for committee bill. We're looking at if anything runs very smoothly and there's no hiccups, at around 8 weeks. And I've seen when we come back, there's only 7 weeks that are left. And I'm talking about 8 weeks in the National Assembly, because the process for committee bill is it must first ask permission from the House to do it. And then it must draft the bill, and it must go back to the House to introduce the bill. And the rules require also, when a committee bill is published, the public must be given at least 3 weeks for it, in order to get its comments in. And then after that, the committee has to consider it. So we're looking at very tight deadlines, and after that, it still has to go to the NCLP. That's just possibilities for the department, for the committee. Another option is for the department to go back to the Constitutional Court and ask the Constitutional Court some indulgence for an extension. In that respect, they're going to have to prove or at least advise the court as to what they've done up to now in respect of the bill, and then give Parliament sufficient time in order to consider this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Desiree. And I know the one Desiree was a man. She was the member of Impopo Legislature. I've seen her here, so I thought it was you, but I've realized that it's not you. Honorable members, that is a presentation. So can we get members to comment on the presentation? Honorable Carter and Honorable Stain.
Thank you, Chairperson. I know that it's maybe not the right place to ask the question right now, but maybe it can just give us some guidance, okay? What is very difficult for me is what the presenter was saying, is that earlier this year they have still not seen the legislation or heard of the legislation. Now, what is of great concern is that the department would have known about it since July last year. Now, I know this is a question we must raise to the department, but it is of concern that the department has actually not been doing the work. And working through the presentation, it seems that they, just working through the presentation yesterday, it seems like the department is pushing the blame elsewhere. So if we can maybe just get a little bit of sort of guidelines of the process of what was followed and what should have been followed, and if the time frames were done properly, where we would have been now.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I think I have a similar kind of question, and then I just wanted to ask also whether there are any other pieces of legislation that's maybe outstanding also from court cases that we are not aware of, if this is the only one. And then obviously you looked at the time frame stipulations, which would be too short to finalize it. So outside of really for the department to go back to the Constitutional Court to ask for an extension, I can't really see us doing anything else. So you've given us those options, but it doesn't look to me like there's any other shorter routes that we can follow. Sorry, Chair, and then just lastly, would there be any penalties towards the department if they don't start implementing it? I've just started reading through the court case itself, so would there be any implications or penalties towards the department if they don't implement it?
Thank you, Honourable Spain. Just to add to the question, whether to ourselves, because we are the lawmakers, are we not going to be penalized if we don't meet the deadline? Not as the department only, ourselves as this committee.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I will start with this question about penalties. The audit made against Parliament and the Department, the difficulty with the committee is that the court didn't really give guidance in the judgment as to what should be required. The court said this is a function that falls within the power of the executive. So it's very difficult for the committee to come up with a piece of legislation. They need to put up structures which falls within the department. In that respect, they need the assistance of the department. The situation that will result is that come 10 January this year, there will be no provision that's going to be regulating performing and because there's going to be an order of invalidity. At the moment there isn't penalties in the court judgment, but we're going to have a situation where that specific sector is not going to have regulation. Court, in respect of the question of whether there are any other court cases, our office is keeping a very close eye on all the judgments, and it is our responsibility to alert the committees about this. The problem with this issue is that we did make work of it under the previous parliament, but then elections happened and we were also a bit caught up with the amount of legislation that was pushed through last year. So because the department did give us the undertaking that they are working on it, when we saw the legislative program, that's when we became alarmed and see that there is nothing on the program to bring before the department. But in terms of going forward, our office is capacitated and we are receiving regular, every day we're receiving, once the court passes the judgment, it's being forwarded to us to see, and then we read it at all the constitutional court judgments to see if there's any piece of legislation that has been declared invalid. And then we do an opinion and we also we alert the committee in that respect. I must just apologize to the member. I wasn't privy to this. I was to that document. So if I can ask the researcher to answer that question.
Members, when the committee deliberated with the department over the strategic plans and the annual budget, part of that package there was a schedule that was legislation drafting schedule that was submitted together with the bulk of the documents. And with regard to the performing animals bill, the internal processes, this is what the department had indicated for themselves, the internal processes within the directorate should have been completed by 1st of August. The processes with the state law advisors should have been completed as of 1st December. The processes within the entire, at the DG's office should have been completed by 1st of October, which is still to happen. And the bill to be submitted to Cabinet should have been 1st of November and to Parliament 1st of December. So I think the challenge there is that even within the department's response or planning, there was already a shortcoming. If they had planned to bring the legislation to Parliament December 1st, meeting the January 10th deadline is already not happening. So there was also an issue with that.
There are all other questions. Honourable Carter and Honourable Smith.
Thank you, Chair. If we look at, I think it's important to see where the delay has been as well. We look at from July, the ruling was in July. The first draft was completed in November 2013, but it took them 2 months to send that first draft, the department 2 months to send that first draft to the Office of the State Law Advisor, which they reacted within a month, and that was in February. Then some minor amendments had to be made. Are we now in September?
Yeah, that chairperson, the reason why I asked the state law advisor or the office of the state law advisor about the question of other judgments is I kind of remembered about this case from 2013, but it also slipped my mind a bit. But I've asked one of my colleagues asked a written question to the minister earlier on outstanding court cases and judgments, and what worries me is the answer came back that this one was not even on the answer from the minister. So it concerns me that, you know, it looked like they don't even know about it. Even there were responses from the office to the department and back, you know, that they would not even think about including it in their answer. So that's why I'm asking the question whether there are any other outstanding issues that we must be aware of that we don't know of.
Yeah, I think honourable members will have time to ask the minister will be coming at 11 o'clock with the department because none of us here can respond to those questions. But I think it should be noted that all of us were not pleased with the response by the department because we expected to be briefed in time as a committee. It shouldn't be us reminding the department that we've got these outstanding issues and come and brief us. They were supposed to advance and brief us to say we've got this matter and these are the obstacles, that's why we're unable to proceed. But they have not done that, which is a challenge on its own. I think all of us, we agree on that one. So we'll wait for the department to come and get those response. But in terms of other legislation, the researcher will lead us in terms of other legislations and policy issues that need to be tackled tackled by this committee. Researcher, we can deal with that. Thank you very much, ma'am, Desiree, for the information. And you're welcome by this committee to give more information frequently. You don't need appointments to get to us. You must just come and give us information so that we make our work easy. Thank you. Antonio.
Honourable members, before you there's a brief titled an overview of the legislative mandate of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. And I'll briefly try to go through that and I'll just highlight some of the issues that could be of importance from that. Because the department administers or is a custodian of over 30 pieces of legislation, we took the liberty to...
Do you have that document you are reading? Do we have it? Which one? I had to talk about the overview of...
Agricultural research.
there's agricultural resources, the animal cluster, the plants, genetic issues and material cluster, fisheries, forestry, and there's other legislations that are more broader and can't really be classified into any of those clusters. So, but for today, we're looking at the first one on agriculture and food market. The five pieces of legislation there are, the first one is the Agricultural Produce Agents Act, which is an act of 1992. That act seeks to, the act in itself, it controls it makes provision for the establishment of the Agricultural Produce Agents Council and a fidelity fund that is related to the produce agents, and it controls all the activities. Agents would be wholesalers, it would be brokers, it would be auctioneers, export agents, export and import agents, I believe they are all regulated by that act, and their activities fall within that. The department has proceeded to publish a draft bill for public comment in this regard, and the changes that they seek to effect to that would change the council into an agency. That's the first issue. But also, it empowers the agency to approve all new markets. The current act, as it stands, it controls the agents, but it also controls the establishment of national fresh produce markets. But in the new bill, it will seek to control all fresh markets. So it's no longer the 18, I think it's just about 18 markets that fall into the fresh, the national fresh produce market. But now it means in markets that fall, markets, your abattoirs and all those that fall in the private sector domain, the act would give the department control over how those are established and how they are run and the kind of processes that must take place within those. So that's the first issue that they're trying to remedy there. The other issue is that there seems to be a direct move towards trying to have more regulations in terms of the activities of the agents. The one important issue that comes to mind is, for instance, with maize that's traded on the SAFEX, and SAFEX is a facility at the JSE, for instance. So it's quite broad. So now the department would want to be able to control brokers who sit at the JSE to trade maize, to trade wheat, and those kinds of things, and how that would work out in the actual, in implementing that is yet to be explored, and I think there might be issues in that regard. The Act also seeks to ensure that the food safety requirements, the regulations and the quality standards are implemented and enforced by using quite a number of collaborating bodies. But as members would be aware probably from the issue of the meat scandal, if we may call it that, there's been quite a concerted effort to bring SARS, to bring DTI, to bring Department of Health under one roof to actually say who is responsible for what in terms of food safety, whether it's at the ports of entry, whether it's at the farm level, whether it's in the food chain, value chain markets, or food agri value chain markets, who's responsible for that thing. But now if the powers will be, if in this proposed draft bill, if the powers are vested within this piece of legislation administered by DAF, would then DAF take up that entire sole responsibility of ensuring that the food is safe, and how would that work in terms of the other stakeholders or the other departments that have some responsibilities in terms of ensuring food safety and regulation thereof. The draft bill also seeks to give the department powers to source funding to modernize and refurbish market infrastructure. But as members are aware, already there's at the presidential coordinating infrastructure program, there's already the SIP 11 arm of that program, and that seeks to regulate market infrastructure, agro-logistics, and so on and so forth. So now if we have a piece of legislation that seeks to vest power within the department for that aspect, would that mean SIP 11 would be out of its, whose mandate does it then become to continue to roll out the agro-logistics and market infrastructure program. So those things are still to be fleshed out. And I think the other issue, because these bills are out for public comment, so, I mean, whatever that contains in them, it still, you know, could be improved upon, amended, and possibly some aspects changed. And then the second bill that falls under this cluster is the Agricultural Product Standards Act. It's an act of 1990, and there's been quite a number of amendments to it. But the act as it stands currently, it controls the sale and export of certain agricultural products and related products to that. And the packaging, the marking, and the labeling, the chemical composition and microbiological contamination of products or agricultural products, they are all controlled within the Agricultural Product Standards Act. But again, it brings to light the same issue of the other role players within the agri-food value chain. I mean, for instance, the Department of Health is responsible to test for contaminants, things like E. coli and Salmonella. I mean, I think I don't have the correct figures, but we do suffer a few number of fatalities, particularly amongst small children and the elderly, due to possibly chicken or meat that's infected by Salmonella or that's infected by E. coli. So if the powers are vested within the department to make sure that these contaminants are managed in a certain way, but there is still aspects that control the same issues that are vested in other organs of state. How does the department therefore use the proposed amendments to kind of harmonize, if we might call it that, harmonize the standards to what's in your agricultural product must be, what's in your food must be, what's imported or what is exported, to make sure that those standards remain quite similar. That's the whole point of a standard. It must remain the same. The other issue is that in terms of the contaminants, there's also an issue of maximum residue level. This pertains to the use of pesticides on agricultural products or during the production process itself. Now, but the other problem that the committee was made aware of, I think it was sometime last year, that we might not have the capacity the diagnostic tools or the protocol to be actually able to test what are the residue levels on the piece of fruit that you have on the table. What are the levels that piece of fruit has? What is the allowable, the maximum allowable level? So actually, in as much as we have a piece of legislation, but to fully support it throughout and be able to implement it has been quite a challenge in this regard. And I think it's something that can be remedied, because then it speaks to what is our research and development agenda within the agricultural sector. Are we investing in building the kind of laboratories, the kind of skills that can actually be able to assist the department to fully implement this aspect of the legislation? And the other, because of that issue of the R&D and some things that we are not able to carry out in our own lab, a lot of the work that's supposed to happen here has been assigned to the PPECP, to the South African Meat Industry Company, and another private company called Procon. But even within that, there's still a bit of issue. If you have private sector companies that are monitoring the levels of contaminants, at the same time, those companies, the very same farmer or agribusiness that you are supposed to be, you know, checking up on them and to see if their produce is meeting the set standards, if they are also clients of that very same private company, it makes it difficult. Are we thoroughly monitoring and fully implementing the legislation as it was intended? And in that regard, the department has introduced a draft bill again for public comment. And it seeks to create, not to prescribe, in fact, which might be an issue of a bone of contention. It seeks to prescribe product-specific management control systems. So now that means if I have a farm and it's an organic farm and I choose to manage it, to have a particular type of production system, if that production system does not meet the prescribed in law, the prescribed management control system, then my product will not be certified for the market. So there's that possibility. And if how will that really work? How will they really choose to implement that? It should be something that should be thoroughly looked into. And, I mean, based on those standards, I mean, what I've explained, if you do not meet the standards, your product can actually be prohibited from either export or if it's an import, there can be such a prohibition. And what the implications are for the sector generally, then that becomes something to look into. The third act is the Liquor Products Act. It's an act of 1989, and it applies largely to the wine and spirits sub-sector, if I might call it that, in liquor products. There's been another bill published for public comment, and that seeks to try and broaden the definitions therein, and I think there was also an attempt to try and include brewed liquor products with beer, but also with African beer itself. The definitions seek to include that. And, well, we'll wait and see. I haven't seen some of the public comments that come from this, but I think given there's a lot of artisanal beer brewing, and I mean, even in generally within the African context, people brew beer at all instances. So now we're introducing a piece of legislation to try and regulate that to some extent. And are we being pragmatic about it? Will it be implementable, or is it are we introducing legislation for the sake of being to say we have a piece of legislation? So that's another aspect. But I think generally from the more established wine and spirits industry, that piece of legislation has been long anticipated for, and there's some positive movements in that regard. And then the last act that we looked at was the Marketing of Agricultural Products Act, which was 1996. This is the same act that gives into effect the establishment of the NAMC, the National Agricultural Marketing Council, and the board thereof. And part of the duties of the National Agricultural Marketing Council, over and above being able to try to establish markets or to look at market trends in terms of our comparative advantages and our export and import issues, there's also the very important issue of the levies that are administered by NAMAC on industry bodies. So if you are an association of wheat producers, there are levies that would apply to that particular industry, if you're in maize and so on. What the draft bill published by the Department for Comment seeks to do is it seems there's a shift of function from the NAMAC itself to the department itself. And there's also more control for the minister to be able to determine what those funds of the levies and how those funds generated therein will be utilized, which is a good thing, because then there's also a bone of contention of a lot of the funds of these production associations, those funds are held in trust. So now if you have a minister who can, if the powers are given to a minister to say, this is how you're going to use the funds, how does the executive have power over what is held in trusteeships? So there's a bit of an issue there and how the department will try to implement some of this. But and because then the department is also given, in the proposed, it is given the powers to be the sole custodian of agricultural and food markets.
it seems that it is a move to have a direct state control in terms of what happens in the agriculture market, what happens in the food market. So would there be, does that give effect to say, if the executive decides that we've had very poor maize season, would that give the executive power to say, for this period of time, this is how much maize we can export, or this is, you know, those issues of export or import, I don't even want to call them bans, but that issue becomes quite important. And I think it's not a bad thing, but it needs to be thoroughly investigated in terms of how they plan to implement some of these powers that would be given to them by the proposed act. And I think it's not only an issue for, like, at a national level, but, I mean, obviously internationally it becomes an issue because of the whole trade liberalization issue or stance that South Africa has. We are signatory to the WTO and the rules by there that we must play within, the parameters that we must play within. So some of these things might, to some extent, be contested, but I think there's still a lot that can happen between now and between the finalization of those bills. I think, okay, just to conclude on those issues. So the other clusters, we will look at them as we progress, but for today's meeting, we chose to look at that first cluster. But the issues that are cross-cutting, the fact that there's been very slow progress by the department in terms of them being able to finalize their legislative review, which has been underway since 2009. And since then, only two bills have been passed, have been brought to the committee and subsequently processed and passed into legislation. And in the 13-14 financial year, the department had indicated in its annual plans that it planned to review, amend, and promulgate 24 pieces of legislation, which obviously did not happen as such. In that same year, the Fertilizers and Seeds Bill, which had been brought to the Portfolio Committee, was referred back to the department, and it was subsequently withdrawn by the then minister. For this current financial year, the department planned to introduce 14 bills to cabinet, and they couldn't indicate to us when they think those bills then would be ready for parliament. Their target was to submit them to cabinet. But I think a lot of that has already been missed as well. If you look, referring back to that legislation schedule that they had submitted when they tabled their budget, the National Forest Amendment Bill, the National Fells and Forest Fire Amendment Bill, the Plant Improvement Bill, those ones have already missed their deadlines, which were like on or before the end of August. And then the Liquor Product Amendment Bill was supposed to be tabled to Parliament on 27 September, that might not happen as such. The Plant Breeders' Rights Bill was also supposed to be tabled to Parliament by 30 September, and which might not also happen as such. And the bill that we discussed above in the agricultural food and markets cluster, a lot of them were due still within 2014. If you look, the one for Agricultural Produce Agencies Bill was due November. There's another one for... the other ones are 2015. But still, if you look at part of what Desiree has been able to explain, it's not a matter of just being able to submit bills to Parliament, but it's also a matter of the time that Parliament has or the committee has to actually process those bills. So that's something that we should... also consider. On the issue of the legislative review, I've tried to contact our counterparts at the South African Law Reform Commission. It's a commission that reports to the Department of Justice. And in 2011, they had taken the task of looking at all the pieces of legislation administered by the department and to see if there is a need to reform or to repeal or to amend whatever pieces of legislation therein. And the results of that study that they had done have not come to a conclusion. but I've provided there briefly how they work and how that could have assisted and how that could have assisted the department in this regard. And then in terms of the issue of the intergovernmental relation, it becomes quite important, as I've explained before, how the aspects of the legislation that fall within DAFs, but if you look within the actual food value chain, there's aspects that would either sit with Department of Health, that sit with the Department of Trade and Industry, even with SARS, for instance. So that's how far we've gone. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Nandobeko. Members, that was the presentation of the overview of legislative mandate of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. I'll now take the opportunity to invite members to engage on the presentation. Any questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, unfortunately, I didn't bring the list of what the department is actually planning to do in this year. I just wanted to see what is the linkages between these ones, because sometimes the department sends out something in as a draft form in the mill, but then it takes 3 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years to come back, because I would have really like to see what is currently being worked on and what is the time frame, because you've mentioned some of these time deadlines that's already behind, but I'm sure also that's questions that we could ask to the department. Chair, just for interest, like I've read in the newspaper, I think on Thursday or Friday last week, that there was a case in Limpopo, and maybe you have also picked it up, but it was mentioned with the brewing of alcohol and beer. There are now people that add something like battery acid and all kinds of things to the. They even give it a name. I think the your mother-in-law's death or something. They call it. No, I saw it in the newspaper last week. And you kind of know that you would die when you drink this, and people are saying it. So I think it's quite important that we do look at these pieces of legislation, but as it was said, the problem is we make these pieces of legislation, but it doesn't stop people from finding loopholes in getting away with it. And I've been on record a million times to say we can make law as many times as we want. The problem comes in with the policing is not the word, the having people that can actually, I think an Afrikaans on the toetepas to what? Yeah, implement it or to make sure that it's being followed. And I think that has been a massive problem in the past. That it's all good and well if we make these pieces of legislation, but if we can't implement it or make sure that it's being adhered to, you know, we can just as well leave it. So I would really, but thank you for this presentation. I really appreciate it, Chair. Just one last thing that I wanted to say. There were issues last year at the end of the previous term because we did not really dealt with any pieces of legislation in the previous term. The international, the OIE, the animal improvement, what is it called, the body for international animal health, raised also in their report, which we have not received before this portfolio checklist, and we need to get that report from the Department of Agriculture, a concern about legislation that's outstanding or outdated. And we need to also get a follow-up from the department on that specific. I've read it myself on the website. I found a copy of it, but I think it's quite important that we also get hold of that. That was raised in a specific report from an international body, and that piece of legislation is still outstanding that also we need to deal with. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ramaphosa.
Thanks, Chair. Now, Chair, after having listened to the presentation and looking into the context, it is clear, it's certainly a comment, because it is clear that this is a point where we can draw a very concise and also put more effort in working, in making sure that this is actually addressed. That's my first account, because as members have already indicated that now the problem becomes more clear that implementation is a problem. Now to us as office bearers or politicians, this is a great problem, because now we have to go always and respond to those who were consulted around to this bills and amendments and so on. And once we talk to them and work is still not at the final stage or finalized, it does not bring confidence, the needed confidence to the people. Now I think it is the policy in our courts now to say what we draw from this whole information and what are the best ways that we want to put in place as a committee to make sure that we fulfill the mandate on the basis of some unfinished work that have been done. Because there was a purpose on this whole amendment, and if you read, the purpose was to make them easy to address the problems and better the lives of the people. So if as this committee we do not learn from it, it will be very difficult to change. And also taking into consideration what actually is prevailing currently under this fifth parliament, we are actually trying to say this is the second phase of transition, and now we have to make sure that agriculture in South Africa becomes, they call it, I don't know what that pot of making people live, because this is the only way where even a man on the street can make a living by eating, by making some fence and so on. So that's a comment which I would want to put, that we will hear from the department when they actually put forward, and also taking into consideration what they presented to us earlier when they were presenting their strategy and their budget and so on. But I'm saying this is a very good document to can actually guide us on how good we can plan and strengthen the way forward. That's the only comment I can do and wait for the department chair.
So thank you. I think let me join members to welcome the presentation. Again, just saying that it is disturbing looking at the what department was supposed to do, and look at the progress or the readiness of the department to move with speed in closing the gaps that are there in the department. I think the officials, they've raised the concern in terms of after receiving the notice from the government, the leader of government business, the deputy president, of the bills that are coming to parliament, and when it relates to our sector, it says our department said they've not submitted anything. I think it's a question that you must raise to the department and get commitment from the department on this number of legislation that have went for public comments and how far are they when they are bringing them to Parliament. I think we must push them to bring them. Because, for instance, on the Liquor Product Act, this thing of African beers and other related beers that are can be manufactured by our, as a way of creating jobs, if they are not being regulated, they might have negative impact to the program of bettering life of our people, because people are putting other things that will make people to be drunk quicker, or they just add anything that without actually even looking at whether those things that they are adding in those beers are meant for human consumption or not. So, and if you don't have such pieces of legislation, it's outstanding, then we're in trouble. Looking at other legislation that you have which are now problematic, your liquor board licensing act, and which the responsibility is even given to provinces and municipalities. Now you are seated with a lot of shebeens which are next to the schools or hospitals, and those shebeens, what they sell, because there is no legislation that is guiding them, they will actually do other things in those shebeens. So I think we just have to get the department to fast track all the processes. And the one thing that we'll have to check is in the legacy report, there's been that there is a team that they've employed to assist them in reviewing all legislation. And the question would be, where is the progress? And how much has been utilized to deal with that? Because there is tendencies of departments wanting to get opinions which at the ultimate end they don't even use. So we will have to get the department to raise those issues, make commitment of when are they going to bring those, particularly those that have went for public comments, because it means that people are not taking us serious. Already we have invited them to comment, legislation is not forthcoming, it's a problem. So we should then force the department, if there is a need for them to go and work with the leader of governance to make sure that those bills come in Parliament, because one of the disadvantages of us as committees, though we have powers to generate or initiate legislation, most of legislation has budget implications. So as long as you don't have budget to implement those legislation, you might not go ahead with those with those powers that you have. We can only work with the department and actually pressurize them. I don't have a good way to I'll use pressurize. Pressurize them to bring those legislation, because it's for the good of our people. It's good for service delivery. So any members on this issue, we have 15 minutes to receive the departmental engagement. Honorable Joseph?
Yes. chairperson, I have a small request. One of my previous heads of departments in government usually said that no deed goes unpunished. No good deed goes unpunished. When I received this document in terms of the overview of the legislation, in terms of the mandate of the department, I was looking at point two of the document and the different eight sectors that it is being broken into. A nice format, and especially for myself as a new member of this committee, chairperson, I was asking early on what is the possibility that we can have these legislation in that format, especially from the government printers, that we can scrutinize this format if it's possible. If not, then I know I must procure it myself, chairperson. I'm just requesting what is that possibility. It will definitely assist in terms of going into the future the way it was broken down in the different sectors. Thanks.
I think it should be possible, but the question is, actually it's allowed, you can get them in the, so, but the question is who's going to get them for members. Can we, are we able to access them through yourselves, all the legislations that are governing these sectors? I know that we're given a fine. Our first meeting has some legislation, but you will not have those that have not come through Parliament. So maybe you should check what you have in the trial, Honorable Joseph, and then ask those that you don't have in the file. We're given files from the content advisor, which has some legislation.
Chairperson, the outlay of it is so beautiful. That's why I say the no good deed goes unpunished. And the person that has done this layout, the possibility, I'm prepared to pay for it if you get it through the government printers. The government printers is just here, in Plain Street. That's why I'm asking, chairperson. I'm prepared to pay for it. But I also know that the government printers, it's very cheap in terms of 2 rand, 3 rand. I don't know if they've raised the cost already.
Honorable Council?
No, I think, Chair, the sooner we go to the committee structure, that will deal with the whole range of issues, including this legislation. I think we will assist us, Honorable Joseph, as we are new, just to understand this thing. It's not only you who are new, who is new, all of us, maybe one or two. So that, because if we identify these pieces of legislation that we need to deal with, they must form part of that session. I mean, we have experts here who can take us through those pieces of legislation, and they must be part of that session. It will help us for us to take off properly. Remember, we came in June, in May, June. And if we don't go through that session, learn how to land. If you have learned how to fly, and you think when we are in the sky, on how you land, then it's a problem. Imagine you are a pilot and you have learned everything except landing. How are we going to land? So that's my suggestion, that we must go through that, and we'll then get the legislative pieces of legislation easily when we go to that session. Thank you.
I agree, but we might not have that time, Honorable Humphrey Matlokwa, because there is a program of Parliament that we have to follow. I would then suggest that what we'll do, because these are not all the legislation that is governing this sector. We have agreed with the officials that they'll take them piece by piece. So after this, we're finished with that process. Would then, as we continue with our meeting, picking up one legislation at a time, because we might not have the time to go and sit somewhere for a weekend, be workshopped of this legislation and having to understand them. But we said in our program of meetings, after finishing to give all the overviews of all this legislation, will then in future put one legislation as an item, raise those critical issues and resolve on them, and so forth and so forth. But in the meantime, I think the officials there here that had your request, they should actually make sure that we have them. And I know that I was a member of legislation in Limpopo. Every now and then, they will always meet with the department. We demand documents. And we'll be reminded, we have given you that other meeting. And when you arrive at home, there are piles and piles of those documents. Precisely because the reality is that that's why we have this support staff. We might not have, even if we like, we might not have that time to go through everything at the same time. We'll take them piece, bit by piece, and make sure that as members, we understand the sector. At least after 5 years, we should then, we have worked in the sector, we have understand it, and we have made sure that the oversight remain perfect for us as members to make the department accountable. So I think they had you, Honorable Joseph, they'll provide those legislation. You don't have to pay anything.
Chairperson, I think when we also come to, when the department needs to come in front of us with the annual reports now, we can also maybe ask them at least just to provide us with a list for each section, each one, what it's called, no, the section, in the department, because then it would be almost slotted in like this one. The section deals with these pieces of legislation, and this, it will also assist us, because it takes some time even for me to get hold of all the pieces of legislation, and when you have some spare time sometimes in night, maybe you want to read them. So it will also assist us if we know which pieces of legislation deals with which section of which department. That will also assist us.
Okay, I think we're agreeing on this one. No doubt about it. So now we have to 5 to 11, so we can have the stretch leg break for 5 minutes. We allow the department to come in.
No, you said you can burn smoke.